I'm so excited you're joining me in Studio C. Today we're going to continue our study on A Christmas Journey, and I know that you'll be blessed. Thank you for joining me in Studio C, and I'm so glad to welcome our friend Chrissy.
I love being with you. I love studying the Word of God, especially this time of the year. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Yeah, that's right. It reminds me of a book.
It does. It reminds me of a really good book, too.
A good book. Jesse preached a message, and then we turned it into a book, uh-huh. And I think it's been broadcasting all this on our daily program.
Yes, it's entitled The Most Wonderful Time of the Year. It's on our weekly broadcast. It's on our app. You can watch that. We have it for sale on our JDM. .org at a special price this month. We are so excited to just get saturated with the Christmas story.
And that is really a great Christmas gift, by the way. It looks really good on my coffee table at home.
It's beautiful.
It decorates the living room that's just the right way, but it's the perfect story to give to people who really don't know about God or know about Jesus. But it's these five different characters that Jesse goes in depth and studied and preached and about how God got Jesus on the earth and how it affected them and changes. And it could change our character by realizing that God can use anybody.
That's right. Elevate your character with the characters of Christmas. It's a wonderful thing to just meditate and reflect on that, because it applies whether we're talking about 2,000 years ago or right now. It's all the same. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
And that's what we do, why we do this, these glorious living programs and all the things that we do here at Jesse DePlantis Ministries, because we want to help you to grow your faith. And we have so many different opportunities for that for you to get saturated in the Word of God, whatever subject the Holy Spirit is leading you to. I can guarantee you there's something in there.
That's right.
In a wealth of content for you to just binge on. And that's what people are doing. We get comments all the time about that.
I love it. I love reading the comments. This one's a great one, too, to share. It says, I recently began to sow seed into your ministry, and in 3.5 weeks, I received 100-fold. It came from 2 places unexpectedly. Thank you, JDM, for your teachings. Watching from West Virginia. West Virginia. I'm starting to sing like Brother Jesse sings. But this
Mountain Mama.
Yeah, take me home. It's not Christmas, but it's a fun one. But I love reading this because, like you were saying, teaching to grow in every area, and this is financially, and that's so important.
It is.
We need to grow in this economic world. We need money. We need to be blessed in every area so we could be a blessing to others. And this person, they sowed their seed in good soil and got their 100-fold, and I'm just excited for them and excited for you who also, you're believing, believe big, because it can happen for you.
You know, we get testimonies all the time about this, and although there's a lot of people out there on the internet, maybe in some churches, who preach actually against prosperity, but God wants us blessed.
That's right.
Why would Jesus say in John chapter 10, verse 10, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly? Mm-hmm. An abundant life includes finances.
That's
finances isn't everything, but it's a big part. If
you
can't buy food to feed your family, that's not godly.
Exactly.
God wants to bring you out of that. And a lot of people may start out that way. Like I was recently teaching about how people focus on the fact that Mary and Joseph just had the little doves to offer as a sacrifice, because it was required to bring a sacrifice when they went to dedicate the child, the male, first male born that was born. They focus on that and say, you know, they were poor. Well, yeah, but wasn't long before the wise men, who we were going to talk about today, brought in gifts, abundant gifts,
abundant,
so much that it financed their trip to Egypt, which we're not going to study about today. But there's so much in the Christmas story.
There's so much in you, Pastor Kathy. It's wisdom.
Yeah,
That's really awesome.
But don't give up. Don't listen to the lie of the devil or the lie of other people who don't understand the Word of God. It's God's will that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. That was a prayer that the Apostle John wrote in the Bible. It's one of his epistles, and it's one that you can hold on to. And many times in the Bible, both healing and prosperity are connected. Bible says in Psalms that God led them out, talking about the children of Israel, led them out with silver and with gold, and there was not one feeble one among them. So God wants you healthy. He wants you wealthy. He wants you prosperous. He wants your soul to prosper, but He also wants us to prosper so that we can be a blessing to other people. That was the assignment God gave to Abraham. He says, you're going to be a blessing to all the families of the earth.
Oh, you preaching, Pastor Kathy.
Hallelujah.
I get excited about it. Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving.
That's right.
And it's just so many great things. And when we obey His word, when we study and we put the principles into practice, that's when things start unfolding. They knew this principle of sowing and reaping from our ministry.
That's right.
They believed it, they applied it, and look what happened.
It only works if you believe it and mm-hmm. you apply it. You have to believe the word of God. We talked about a scripture last week in our study about if you, God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. What does He reward you with? Well, Himself, of course, peace of God knowing Him, but also gives you wisdom how to operate in this financial world, this economic world, so that you can be a blessing to your family, mm-hmm. so that you can have a good Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I know that
gifts.
Everybody out there wants to have a good Christmas. What does that even mean, have a good Christmas?
Exactly.
Well, it means be a blessing, be a giver. And this is the model of what we're talking about here in this story of the wise men.
The gifts.
Their whole journey, this Christmas journey that we're talking about, was a journey to go and bring a gift, bring an offering to the King.
And these were some good old gifts. These were some name brand myrrh. This was good.
Yeah, they were dropping the merch.
They were dropping the merch. Love
dropping it off. So today we're going to begin a Christmas journey, part two. Last week we studied about the wise men that journeyed from the east to worship the newborn King of the Jews. They were on an intense quest for God, for a God that was beyond the ordinary. They were earnestly seeking Him with all their heart. And when they found Him, finally, they rejoiced with joy and worship and gifts.
Gifts are always good. I love them.
That's so good. And we're going to turn to Jeremiah today. We studied, of course, the whole story. We read about it in part one from the book of Matthew, chapter two. But we're going to study a little more in the Old Testament here in Jeremiah chapter 29. So if you have a Bible, it would be good for you to open it up and read and study along with us. This is our own personal Bible study
with you. So
and we're so thankful that you took the time today to join with us, because I believe that God has you on your own personal journey of getting closer to Him and seeking Him, and He always rewards that.
Amen. That's so exciting. Yeah, I love it. I love every aspect of this Bible study. I love that when we put our faith in God and we learn from those characters of Christmas, these wise men, even Mary and her dedication to traveling on that donkey through that desert pregnant like that, that was determination. She knew what she had to do. And so reading this and going through the Old Testament, it's actually, it brightens your day to keep on going forward.
I think it's wonderful. It's how we're wired. I know I like hearing stories about my family. I ask, sit with my mom. Mom, tell me about your grandmother. I love hearing those old stories. And it helps me to know who I really am.
Yeah.
But these stories really, this is not about our physical family, but this is our spiritual family. We have, these were our ancestors in the spirit realm that came and across the East. And so we're going to find it
That's
in Scripture.
So good.
But throughout the Scripture, we find repeated references to people seeking after God, and each one revealing a quest for God with an intensity that's beyond ordinary prayer. And Jeremiah, the prophet, wrote to a rebellious and disobedient nation of people that were in captivity due to bad leadership. Mm. And we're going to read about that and see what he wrote in Jeremiah chapter 29. I want Chrissy to read verses 10 through 13.
So good.
And this is the New Living Translation. It's a little easier for us to comprehend. I love the way it's written.
Yes, it's great. It says, "This is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon for 70 years, but then I will come and I will do for you all the good things I have promised, and I will bring you home again. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me."
I love this passage of Scripture. So often we pull out and we quote this one, "I know the plans I have for you, plans for good and not disaster, to give you a future and hope." And that's a great portion of it. But it says, this whole section of it is more important.
It is.
The before and the after really tells the story.
Reading in context is so important, because when you know what they're actually talking about, and he says, "You will be in Babylon for 70 years. Wow, that's a long time.
And also it says that, look, if you look for me wholeheartedly, he says, you will find me. And that just brings that seeking another whole level. This word look, along with the phrase wholeheartedly, suggests an earnestness that borders on desperation. It suggests a close pursuit of a desired objective, and it also implies a diligence in the searching process. That's so true, because God has thoughts of peace to give you a good future to all of those that seek Him wholeheartedly.
And that's good news for you watching. If you're going through something right now, maybe you lost someone close to you and you don't have that peace, which surpasses all understanding, you stay close to Jesus. You know, this is my first year celebrating Christmas without my daddy. He's in heaven.
That's
and
hard.
I'll get choked up about it. Mm-hmm. But staying close to Jesus has made all the difference.
You know, He can give you a revelation of how heaven is,
yes,
and how what your dad is really enjoying
exactly
right now. The scriptures reveal it. We don't have to
beautiful
see it in a physical sense, but we can get the revelation through the Word of God that heaven is a real place.
Amen.
And those who have departed that knew Jesus, they're there.
I know.
And so, I mean, of course, you miss them, wish they'd be celebrating Christmas here, but I can tell you what, there's
exactly
probably a bigger celebration
I
there.
I was driving actually to work today, and I was thinking about how He's celebrating Christmas with Jesus hand in hand.
Hallelujah.
He's in that, and then one day I will be with Him, mm-hmm, with my family. We're all saved, mm-hmm, and we'll have the most glorious Christmas party. So if that's you today, if you feel discouraged, if you feel like there's no peace, maybe there's some things happening in your family, there's turmoil, relationships that aren't really going the right way, you can find the peace of God. Actually, it's in you as a believer. When you have that Holy Spirit, you have the Comforter close to you. He is right there. All you have to do is ask, and He will show up, and you will have that peace when you seek Him wholeheartedly.
I believe that God is doing that for you right now, as Chrissy has said that, because it's so important to realize that there's always answers in the Word of God. God doesn't want you to be depressed.
Mm-mm.
He wants you to be full of peace and joy,
yes,
and hope, and then we have the hope in Jesus.
Yeah, and the key is to stay close to Him.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes all the difference.
That's so good. Now, and we're going to turn to Daniel chapter 9 and continue our Bible study on a Christmas journey. Because after 70 years, we talked about how Jeremiah had prophesied about the 70 years, like you just mentioned as well. After the 70 years in Babylon captivity were fulfilled, the prophet Daniel was diligently seeking God. Mm-hmm. And he was doing that through reading the Word of God, just like you can do. And when he read the words of Jeremiah's prophecy, he began to earnestly pray for the fulfillment of God's plan.
Oh, that's so
and we're
going
to see that in verse Daniel chapter 9, verses 2 and 3. And Chrissy's going to read that in the New Living Translation for us. Go ahead, Chrissy. Hey, why don't you pick it up so they can see you pretty face.
Oh, that's very true. Very good. And thank you. During the first year.
I wanted to tell you that at the start of the program because it's would just be good.
Well, that makes it all better when you call me pretty. So I love it. It says, during the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, learned from reading the word of the Lord as revealed to Jeremiah the prophet that Jerusalem must lie desolate for 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and fasting. I also wore rough burlap and sprinkled myself with ashes.
So that was the method that they prayed and sought God. You know, remember Daniel was the man who prayed, mm-hmm, and the people, he was in a high position in government at that time. Mm-hmm. And those who were jealous about him tried to bring an accusation against him. And so they made a rule. This is not in our study, but
no,
it just reminded me of it. But the jealous other leaders that were jealous of Daniel's position had the king sign a decree that no one could bow or pray to any other god except him, Nebuchadnezzar. And so they watched Daniel and they caught him. And that's when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den because he violated the rule of that day.
Mm-hmm.
But God protected him while he was in that.
Wow.
And so the Darius knew that he was trapped by those other sorcerers or those other leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so upset, but he was compelled to follow the law. Even the king had to follow
exactly
the law that he signed. And so that the next overnight, he stayed there with the lions. I'm telling the whole Daniel and the lion story.
It's good. It's so
and so
good.
He was thrown into the den of lions. And the next morning, the king says, "Oh, Daniel, are you okay? Has your king, your God, saved you or protected you?" He says, "Ah, here I am. I'm free." Those lions didn't even touch him.
He was
at peace throughout the whole ordeal. Those lions. I mean, there were lots of hungry lions. You know, they were hungry because as soon as Daniel came out, the king threw those wicked other leaders in there, and they were gobbled up by the lions immediately. So they were hungry.
Yeah.
So
God shut their mouths.
He shut their mouths.
Because he obeyed the Lord. He made sure to put him first, to seek him wholeheartedly. And what I love about this verse is that Daniel knew what Jeremiah said. He took it upon himself to read those scriptures of that day and to understand. And like you mentioned before, it's so important for us to go back like we're doing right now. We're doing exactly what Daniel did with Jeremiah,
that's
with them.
So
and then it applies in every area. And there might, maybe you're not facing physical lions, but there's the lions of life out there seeking to kill, steal, and destroy you.
Right.
And we have to be well-equipped, and we need to know the word, just mm-hmm. like how Daniel did. He read the scriptures, and he knew what was coming.
Right. Well, it was Daniel's lifestyle to pray and to seek God, and to not just, but with the scriptures. So mm-hmm. when you pray and you're seeking God, it's good in your prayer time to have the Bible in your lap, have something close by to write with, to study the word of God. And so when he found himself in the word, he recognized some things. He recognized, okay, this is the time frame. Mm-hmm. God says 70 years, it's 70 years. I'm living in this time frame. So I have a responsibility to enter in and pray and seek God for what God wanted to be done in the earth. Mm-hmm. You know, anytime God has a plan, he will always look for someone that he can communicate it to, and that someone will pray and pull it down, because the Bible says that the prophets have to be declaring it.
Yeah.
He will always fulfill his word. And so it's important that nothing is done in the earth unless someone prophesies it
mm-hmm.
or says it. It has to be declared, and it's declared under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but it keeps things in motion. It's God connects with us. He wants to be involved, us to be involved with what he's doing. So we have to be listening, seeking, and finding what he's saying in the word.
Oh, so good. I know I'm enjoying this.
That's good.
This is in declaring it. When you take initiative and you start saying things, mm-hmm. things change.
That's so good. Now, let's look back at our study, because the prophet Daniel lived in Babylon for over 400 years before the birth of Jesus. So it's entirely possible that the wise men that we've been studying about in our lesson, part one and part two, the wise men in Jesus' day must have grown up hearing stories about the prophet Daniel.
That's right.
And they may have even had copies of the Holy Scriptures to study. But it's clear from the Scriptures that those who look wholeheartedly for God will find them. And we're going to see this in Numbers chapter 24. So turn in your Bibles to that if you have it. If you have your Bible handy, or write the note down and go back and read it for yourself. But we're going to read a verse in Scripture that shows us that those wise men may have read the story that's recorded in the book of Numbers. The Bible tells us that an enemy named Moabite king named Balak commissioned the prophet Balaam to curse Israel so that he could defeat them. Mm-hmm. But Balaam told the king of Moab that he could not curse what God had blessed. Instead, he pronounced a curse on Moab and the blessings on Israel, which went well into the future. And this was not only a blessing of that day, but it went way ahead. And we'll see this in verse 17.
Awesome.
So can you read Numbers chapter 24, verse 17?
Yes,
and you lifted it up.
That's so good. I lift up the word.
Hallelujah.
I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. That's powerful.
Yeah.
A star, and it's capital.
Yeah, it is capital. And that's what those, I think it's entirely possible that the wise men could have read that, because
mm-hmm.
that was all the scripture, copies of the scriptures were there with Daniel while he was in exile in Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
So it's possible that the wise men may have heard this verse about a star that would announce the birth of the King of the Jews.
Yeah.
And the word star, like Chrissy said, is capitalized in the King James Version because it was a clear reference to Jesus as King with power and with authority.
Amen.
You know, no wonder these wise men were on a journey to seek him.
Mm-hmm.
That Matthew tells us that the wise men continued to press forward following the star. And when they found Jesus, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy.
It's so good. It reminds me of how we call movie stars, and how so many see these big concerts and people are flocking to stadiums and mm-hmm. they just can't wait to get the tickets. There was one this weekend that people were posting videos about. It looked fun, but it was amazing how the crowd just was so enthusiastic. They wanted to be there. They were actually lifting their hands. And we tend to focus on other stars and forget the main one is Jesus.
So
he
true.
Is the
Those
star.
Those are the little S stars.
The little S stars. Yeah, that's right. And it's crazy because we can get caught up in looking at other stars and not focusing on the true one.
Mm-hmm.
And when we read that, that just really hit me. It's like we need to really diligently seek Jesus, not just this time of year, all through your life.
That's so true. If we're following the wrong star, little S star,
mm-hmm.
we're going to go into the trap of the enemy. We're going to live a life that's defeated and full of disappointment. But finding Jesus will always fill us with exceeding
amen.
Joy. Why? Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the Savior, the friend, the all in all.
That's right.
You know, there's no other way of life, and there's no peace to the soul until he is found. And when we're guided by the Son of God, our hearts should overflow with praise and exceeding joy.
I know I'm full of joy, too.
I am, too.
It really is. It's so exciting to know Jesus in a personal way, mm-hmm. and to read these scriptures. And like you said, get your Bible out, highlight, take notes, go back and read it, because when the enemy tries to throw those darts of despair or, you know, doubt, whatever it is, his tactics, he has no new tricks. Mm-hmm. We can go back to this show, to your notes, to everything. Just keep reminding yourself, start declaring it. No, I follow the true star. Mm-hmm. I follow Jesus. I'm a daughter, or I'm a son of the Most High King. When you start saying those things, mm-hmm. and bring it back, it changes your whole outlook. Your whole perspective changes. Your head is lifted, and the glorious life you were intended to live starts going into action.
I love that. You know, the scriptures tell us that those that are led by the Spirit are the children of God. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the markings or the trademarks of a child of God, is that they follow the leading of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Like we talked about last week, those wise men, I believe, followed the Holy Ghost mm-hmm. that was leading and directing them, because they were supposed to be part of this story. And we're going to read this in Matthew chapter 2, because it's believed by many Bible teachers that Jesus was probably 1 or 2 years old when the wise men found him. And by that time, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph were living in a house, not a stable.
Yes.
And we're going to see this in Matthew chapter 2, verse 11.
That is so
awesome. Can you read that?
Awesome.
You didn't know that?
I didn't. When I read this, uh-huh. I was like, really? You see all these depictions uh-huh. of them bowing in a little stable with the hay and the horses.
Yeah, in fact, we have the nativity in the church that tells the whole story as though that all happened on that night. But it didn't, but it happened. And
then
it's just like the Reader's Digest version. I guess they bring the whole story together.
So they had to make it
happened.
Quick.
The timing is not as important as the fact that it happened.
And it's in here.
It's in here.
And you just got to read it.
Read it.
All right. Yes, it's awesome. It says, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him." The young child, not the baby.
That's right.
The
so
young
he
child.
Had to, he could have been a young child, was not baby, like you said, probably, like we said, 1 or 2 years old, a toddler, because they had moved on. This was after the presentation of Jesus in the temple, which had to happen 40 days after his birth. That was when you waited till the mother was purified. They had the circumcision was 8 days after his birth. Then 40 days after his birth would have been the presentation or the dedication in the temple, where I preached about that a few while back at the church a few Sundays ago, about how Simeon was there in the temple at that mm-hmm. time. But it's so important to realize that God had a specific plan. And when all of the wise men finally came there, they saw the young child and Mary, and they fell down and worshiped him, H-I-M, capital H-I-M,
him.
Not them. They worshiped Jesus, not Mary.
Wow.
And also Mary worshiped Jesus too.
Beautiful.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
It's wisdom to realize this, because so many people want to elevate Mary higher than she is. And if she would be here today, she would oppose that.
She'd
I know that.
She'd point it to Jesus.
Because Jesus is her Savior too. I was listening on the radio recently. I was in the car, and that whole song about Mary, did you know?
Mm-hmm.
Your baby boy, the one that you're going to deliver would soon deliver you.
Yeah.
The words in that are so beautiful.
It is. It's beautiful. And it's so great to realize that we worship him. It's all about him.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. Every step you take in your journey of life, going in the direction of Christ, mm-hmm. asking that question, what would Jesus do? It's a famous phrase.
So true.
But it's so good to read and to realize and get it in your heart, get it etched in your heart, because no matter what circumstance comes across your path, when you ask that question, what would Jesus do? And you worship him, not anything else, then that's when things start activating.
Right, and that's the best journey you could ever have
yeah.
in life, because every successful journey in life must conclude with worship of Jesus, the only mediator between God and mankind.
Mm.
And you know, the wise men that journeyed to worship Jesus, who for who he was, they brought gifts worthy of a king.
Mm-hmm.
These wise men, you know, Chrissy, were extremely wealthy.
I know.
They opened up their treasures. They presented gifts to
yes.
Jesus that totaled a great sum of money, not tiny presents mm-hmm. like we kind of see depicted with
yeah.
bows, but a treasure chest full of financial wealth.
I love that. I love it. And actually, you see that in the nativity. They're always wearing gold, or they have royal colors on, and they have their crowns. And to see these kings worshiping a child, mm-hmm. bowing down and showing respect. These were respected people of their day. Mm-hmm. So they knew exactly where they were going. Mm-hmm. They knew who they were seeing, and they came prepared with the best gifts.
They did. Mm-hmm. They did. They were not. Although we don't know the monetary value of each type of gift, we know that the types of gifts that they gave were extremely valuable. Each one represents Jesus as King, Priest, and Savior. Mm-hmm. It's so wonderful when you start doing a breakdown of this. Sometimes I've done like a little search on what the value of that was, but I think other people have done that. But it was extremely valuable. Mm-hmm. You could see that. The first one was gold. Mm-hmm. It was gift for royalty. Don't you love gold, Chrissy?
I love gold. I love gold.
Gold is a beautiful, it's just represents royalty because Jesus is the King of Kings.
Yeah.
That's a great gift. That was the and that gold, it wasn't just a little chip. I'm sure they had a chest full of gold. That must have been what financed the journey to Egypt that the family had to go on because King Herod was wanting to kill all the babies below from 2 years old to younger. This shows you again that that would have been about the time factor where they felt like that the birth of Christ had occurred, still that two-year-old thing that we talked about mm-hmm. just a moment ago when we read that Jesus was not a baby. He was a little toddler at this point. So this is what's great. Gold was the first gift. It was a gift for royalty. The second gift was frankincense, which was used in temple worship. So this represents Jesus as the high priest.
That's amazing.
And myrrh was a spice that was used to anoint a body for burial. And that was depicted Jesus as Savior.
To me, breaking this down right now, I don't think people do this. I think this is so unique. I mean, I'm sure people do. But this is so unique to our study right now that I think people are probably, comment and let us know, have you ever really read it like this? Because when you break it down, knowing that it signifies Jesus in those three ways mm-hmm. and how important it is to recognize him as King, as priest
and Savior.
I mean, and having these beautiful gifts to represent it at that time.
They were led by the Holy Spirit on the types of gifts to bring.
Exactly.
And it was written down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to help us to know and recognize how valuable Jesus is, so much that they wanted to honor him with their best. And we're reading about it here, and all of it ties in. You know, God has so many beautiful things in heaven. I could just imagine how amazing it must be. But here on the earth, he wanted his son to be honored in this way as a baby. Mm-hmm. And even though a lot of the people of that day didn't understand it, it was done in a small spot and wasn't publicized to the world at that time. But God had it recorded because this is how God wanted to honor his son on the earth that time so long ago.
God is so detailed. Every little thing mattered, even the gifts. Mm-hmm. And it all points to the fact that he's our Savior, he's our King, he's our Lord of Lords, he's Emmanuel, mm-hmm. God with us.
And God takes care of his people. He took care of his kids. That's, like I said, that's financed the journey, but it also probably supplied their living expenses for a number of years, even after returning to Israel.
Mm-hmm. That's life in abundance.
That's
abundant living, glorious living.
Oh, we know we're going over today, Chrissy.
I like it. Let's keep going.
We're going to turn to Matthew chapter 1. This is our last scripture we're going to read today. I hope you're enjoying this study with us today, because after finding Jesus at the end of their journey and worshiping him, we read that the wise men were warned by God not to return through Jerusalem. They didn't follow Herod's instructions to bring him word about the newborn King of the Jews. It was so wise for them not to do that, because they were wise men.
They were wise men. They were the wisest.
But have you ever wondered, Chrissy, about the questions the wise men may have asked that day when they saw Jesus?
Yeah.
Do you think that they asked Mary the name of her baby?
What's his name?
What you calling him?
Yeah.
Don't people do that when they see a baby? What's the baby's name?
Exactly.
Don't you think they asked that?
Of course. That to me, it's so awesome to make it real. Like when we have gender reveal parties or when people come to the baby shower.
They want to know the gender of the baby.
Yeah.
Now they want to know they knew this would be a son, God's son, but this was a baby. What did you name the baby?
Yeah, what did you name
Let's read this in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. We're going to go back to that chapter and see what the Bible says his name should be. Read that in verse 21, Chrissy.
And and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
I love that.
And that's the nitty gritty to it.
Yeah, Jesus. The angel spoke these words to Joseph, revealing that Mary's child was conceived by the Holy Spirit and it would be a son. And this verse reveals an important truth about Jesus. He is both God and human, the infinite unlimited God took on the limitations of humanity so he could live and die for the salvation of all who would believe in him. So finding Jesus may mean that your life must take a different journey, one that is responsive and obedient to God's word. Because after giving our lives to Jesus, Jesse and I began a different journey that were in a different direction than when we were married in 1971.
Exactly.
Yeah, like the wise men that followed the star, our family took on a different journey after we were born again.
Yeah.
And today we're still seeking to know more and more about Jesus. And we're following that star, capital S, and leading a lot of people all over the world for all these 49 years of people that have been seeking God. We're helping people to find him, and millions of people have been impacted through the different outreaches over these many years.
Amen. I know my family and myself personally have been impacted by this ministry, and thank God that your journey took that course, that you obeyed the Lord. You started praying for the salvation of Brother Jesse, and now look at all of the lives, like we were talking about, just countless lives.
That's so good.
It's all because of obedience.
That's right. Well, you know, we got saved and we wanted everybody to know about the Savior because Jesus' name means the Lord saves. He didn't come to help people save themselves. He came to be their Savior from the power and the penalty of sin. And Jesus came to the earth to save us because we can't save ourselves from sin or its consequences. So no matter how good we are, we can't eliminate the sinful nature that's present in all of us. Only Jesus can do that. He was born, lived a sinless life, and was crucified on a cross to give eternal life to everyone that believes in him. So this is what you can do. In fact, if you don't know him, we're going to say this. We prayed last week, but we're going to pray again. Father, for those that don't know you, especially during this Christmas season, I believe people are seeking truth. Lord, reveal yourself to them. Let them know that they can follow you and receive fulfillment in their life, not only here in this life, but in their life to come. For eternity, they'll be living with you. Lord, bless them today, Lord. Help them to know that once they repent of their sin, believe in their heart, and confess it with their mouth, they are born again, they are saved, and they can live with you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer, let us know. Comment. Tell us that you're part of the family now. You're in with us. You're going to heaven. It's amazing to rejoice in that fact. And then we have Team JDM. We have people waiting to pray for you. We have a partner care team 24/7. If you want to call the number, or if you want to email us, we have people ready to agree with you and help you and to disciple you to grow in your faith. You know, it's just that one simple prayer sparks a whole treasure chest of good things.
Amen.
What's better than Jesus? There's nothing else better.
And we've been studying along with an article that's in our monthly magazine. Chrissy will show you can read the article for yourself in our magazine, on our social media platform, if you may have a hard copy at home you haven't read yet. You can also go on our app and read the magazine in English and in Spanish.
And in Spanish.
So you can share it with people, read it yourself, and then share it with someone. Also, I think it's been on the broadcast.
It's everywhere.
But it's everywhere, so you can learn more about it. But we've been studying along about the journey, Christmas journey that the wise men had. But the scriptures tell us that the wise men journeyed to worship Jesus with the treasures of earth in their hands. I believe that they finished their journey with the treasure of heaven in their heart.
Thank you.
And like the wise men that traveled from the east so long ago, you too can receive the treasure of heaven in your heart. In a moment, you can begin a new life's journey filled with exceeding great joy for a Merry Christmas and for all time.
This was a merry, merry Christmas.
Amen.
I absolutely loved being with you, Pastor Kathy, and studying, and thank you for joining us. I know this actually this transformed my life, and I know it will transform yours, because when you get this truth, this biblical truth, and this knowledge seeded into your life, things start changing. You get excited. You start being more passionate. You diligently seek him. And then next year is going to be even better.
Yeah, and you find him, and then you want everybody else to know him too. And I believe that you're praying for your family, those of you that maybe are living in a situation where your family doesn't know him. I'm believing that this Christmas they'll begin to see him in a new light, because God will use you to touch their life in a significant way.
Amen. The boss always says the only Jesus some people may ever see is the Jesus in you, or
the Jesus in me. And Jesus is definitely in you.
And you too.
And he's in me.
I love it. It's so good.
And I believe that God has touched your life today. I hope that you'll have a very Merry Christmas. And I want to see you here, right here in Studio C next week. Have a great day. God bless.